We'll go back under our regular agenda. We got under advisement, our first one, and we'll get yours, which will be case number 10,125.
What about 130?
130, which one put to the back.
Okay, all right. Okay, thank you. Susan, would you read that, please?
Who do you want me to go?
Case number 10,130, it was put to the back.
Okay, case number 10,130, the Washington Savings Bank FSB, intersection of Route 54 and Madison Avenue, being lots 1, 2, and 3 within Glen Acres, Edgewater Acres. A variance from the minimum lot width and lot area for parcels, and a variance from the side yard setback requirement.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is Dave Weidman, and I'm an attorney at Hudson Jones, Jaywerk & Fisher, and I represent the Washington Savings Bank. I want to apologize for being here but not in the room at the time you called us the first time around. We were out in the hallway talking to the adjacent property owner about a concern that he has with a water drainage issue that was not of the bank's making, but certainly affects possibly our interest in the property as well. And what we told that individual was that the bank is certainly going to work with him in resolving any water drainage issue that affects both lot 3 of our property and lot 4, which is what he owns. His name is Charles Walther, and he's here, I believe, tonight to express any concerns he has about that issue. Let me begin by introducing who I have here with me. On my right is Greg Balger, who's the vice president of the Washington Savings Bank. I have also Brian Sullivan, who's an attorney from Wilmington, who was involved in the foreclosure action that leads us here to your door today. I have the surveyor, Russell Hammond, here, and also an individual named Bob Jester, who's here with the bank as well. I usually don't read the submittals that I present to you all, and I promise you I'm not going to read it word for word tonight, but this is a rather interesting and unique case, as most of them are, that come before you. So I want to make sure that I highlight the factual background so you can follow through with me what you're dealing with, since at first blush it's not an easy factual scenario to digest. But what you have here are three lots on one tax parcel that were originally plotted 44 years ago as part of Edgewater Acres. And I have on the easel an exhibit that shows the original subdivision plat, and I highlighted the very small corner in yellow at the bottom showing how those original lots were configured. At that time, they all had road access. Two of the lots had road access along Madison Avenue. One of the lots had road access to old Route 54. Now, as you also know, back in 1964, you didn't have the ordinances that you have today, so these lots eventually were non-conforming when the Planning and Zoning Code was passed. So they were much smaller when they were originally plotted than would be allowed today. And over time, Madison Avenue and Route 54 both have been realigned. The bank, my client, acquired this property through a foreclosure action. It had lent money against the property back in December of 2004. When the bank foreclosed on the property, several title issues popped up that had not been addressed before. And in order to allow you to follow along as to what has happened to this property, I've color-coded it. Hopefully you can see through the colors as I highlight each color in turn. Originally, you had three lots, which are the yellow highlighted parcels, lot 1, lot 2, and lot 3. Over time, in 1974, DelDOT abandoned its right-of-way. And in fact, there were two different right-of-ways, as I guess Route 54 shifted to the north. When DelDOT abandoned its right-of-ways by resolution, that additional property was supposed to be incorporated into this tax map number. It was not. In addition, Madison Avenue, instead of going straight, and you can see here that Madison Avenue was originally in a straight line. But over time, Madison Avenue hooked to the northwest. And so in 1974, in the area shaded in blue, by resolution, this property, this right-of-way area, this bed of Madison Avenue, was also abandoned by DLDOT and became part of this tax map parcel. So when the bank went to foreclose on the property, it was left with a parcel that looked vastly different than it did in 1964 when it was plotted. The abandoned property, however, was never properly conveyed to the bank's predecessors in interest, so it wasn't incorporated into those three smaller lots. So when the bank foreclosed through the foreclosure action, the Court of Chancery, well, the foreclosure action occurred in Superior Court, but there was a simultaneous action filed, I believe Mr. Sullivan can represent that. A simultaneous action was filed to incorporate this additional land into these old lots so that the tax map parcel is accurately reflected as being what it is, so that it became a part of the bank's mortgage. Now, in the process, the court order said that this abandoned property is part of that tax map parcel, and the mortgage was reformed to include the right-of-way and the roadbed. Through no fault of the bank, then, we're left with a situation where the old three lots really no longer exist the way they're depicted on the old plat, and the bank is trying to make sense of this parcel that has been reconfigured. So what the bank has done is take the additional area and has tried to make the best of a somewhat bad situation where it's left with a parcel that doesn't know what to do with, really, unless it gets these variances. We conferred with Lawrence Lank, who indicated we should go through the variance route. If the variances are granted by you, then he can do a counter-approval of these three lots, subdividing them into the way they're configured as you see on the survey, because the three old lots really are no longer usable in the form that you see here. The reason being is if you look at the survey that I attached to my letter, you've got lot number one, which is landlocked, and which has a high water line that severely cuts into the back of it. High water line is here, as you can see on the survey attached to your letter. Lot one is landlocked. Lot number two has a clamshell driveway that traverses it back to lot one, but there's no easement, I believe, of record, so that lot two would need to convey an easement back to lot one. And the bank is seeking, as a result, relief from this board to make sense of a parcel of property that really no longer makes any sense whatsoever because of what's happened to it over the last 44 years. When you look at the applicable law, and I want to go through each element with you because we can see that the bank is asking for three variances for each lot. It's the best we can do given a bad situation. You look to the quick check case, and the four elements under quick check are the nature of the zone where the property lies, the character and uses of the immediate vicinity, whether removal of the restriction would seriously affect neighboring property, and whether failure to remove the restriction would create an unnecessary hardship. And I submit to you that the bank can meet each one of those elements. The nature of the zone where the property lies is the first element, and in this case, dealing with an agricultural residential zone, and this parcel is surrounded by similarly zoned property. The second element is the character and uses of the immediate vicinity. This parcel lies in the Edgewater Acres subdivision, and we're not proposing to change the use of the parcel at all. We're just proposing to change the way the lots have evolved in their size and shape over the last 44 years. Under element number three, whether removal of the restriction would seriously affect the neighboring property and its uses, I submit that removing the setback restrictions and the area restriction in this case would not seriously affect any of the surrounding property. In fact, I suggest to you that reconfiguring the lots the way you see them on the current survey would actually enhance the value of the surrounding property and the neighborhood, And plus, you would also eliminate one parcel that's currently landlocked. The fourth element under quick check is whether failure to remove the restriction would create unnecessary hardship. I don't think it takes a significant leap of the imagination to understand that the bank is left with a mess that it's trying to clean up, and if the variances aren't granted, the bank has a significant hardship. And in fact, as I pointed out in my letter, I think the bank ends up in a worse situation without the variances than prior to when the mortgage was granted, when you had at least non-conforming lots that you could build something on. Once you get through the quick check factors, you take a look at the factors outlined in the zoning code, in your own code. The first factor is uniqueness. In this case, you have a piece of property that truly is unique in the sense that a major highway has shifted, thereby putting this parcel of property in a situation where the previous right-of-way owned by the state has been incorporated into this parcel. And at the same time, you have a road in the subdivision that has also shifted as a result, so that the roadbed has been vacated and also added into that parcel. The property cannot otherwise be developed. Without the variances, basically this parcel, as it was originally plotted out, no longer exists. This parcel is larger. It's outlined in orange, not yellow anymore. Without the variances, basically the bank's in a situation where there's little that it can do with these parcels. You have water on the east side encroaching into two of the lots now. You have a roadbed out front, which, unless incorporated into these lots, is going to severely impede the bank's ability to do anything with the old lots. The bank is attempting to preserve the value through the survey that Mr. Lynch did. Whether the condition was created by the applicant is the third element, and the bank did not create this condition.
Basically, DelDOT abandoned the right-of-way, excuse me, and the roadbed, and in that process created the current problem that became a part of this parcel's title
subsequent to 1974. The fourth element is whether the variance will alter the essential character of the neighborhood. It will not only not alter the essential character of the neighborhood, it's going to enhance the essential character of the neighborhood by increasing the size of formerly very small lots. And then number five, is this the minimum variance that will afford relief? This is the absolute minimum variance that will afford relief to the bank. We're not asking for anything that's pie in the sky. Excuse me. It's been a long night.
Yeah.
Something to drink. In any event, if I had to sum up, I'd say that the bank in good faith lent money against three formerly non-conforming lots. Those lots, over time, were enlarged through no fault of the bank. And now the bank's in a situation where it's trying to create value. And without the variance, they won't have any.
Okay.
Now, if I could call Mr. Bogger up.
How many people are you going to have testify or say anything on the record? We'll do them all.
I'm just going to ask Mr. Bogger to confirm everything that I've said.
Okay, we'll swear everybody at once if you have them. If it's just one, that's fine.
Unless there are any questions, I was only going to have Mr. Bogger confirm what I said.
Okay. Give you your name and address, please.
Gregory A. Bogger, 5150 Tuscarora. Here's my business address.
Okay, thank you.
That's fine. Do you swear a testimony you're about to give should be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Mr. Bogger, is everything that I've represented here tonight an accurate representation of the bank's position and the bank's application before the board?
Yes, it is.
Is there anything that you would like to add?
The only thing the bank is trying to accomplish here is the fact that, yes, we did, in fact, make a loan back in December of 04 on these three lots, as were identified, were small lots at the time. The loan was in the amount of $1,450,000. It's taken us a long time to get to where we are here tonight. We've had a lot of hurdles placed in front of us, including the additional land hurdle that our client failed to acquire through the previous owner. At this point in time, the way I would present it is that it's all coming together, okay? What I think this plan does is represent the best uniformity conditions that would exist for the neighboring properties as well. I've toured the site. I've driven down the street. These lots are, in fact, larger than the lots to the right of where they're located. So I think from a functionality standpoint, as well as a conformity standpoint, I think it lends itself to the correct avenue that the bank should be moving in, okay? We're not enhancing the number of lots. We're just asking for there to be some sound reason and judgment assigned to how this land parcel should be configured.
Thank you. I don't have anything else.
Can you?
Mr. Wideman, what's out there that confirms the ownership of the extra property, the vacated property? Is it the Del Dot order, or is it the Chancery decision?
For the record, I can give you a copy of the Court of Chancery order.
Okay, I mean, that's what confirms it.
I think it's not only the Court of Chancery order, but also the Superior Court order, if that's correct. Maybe Mr. Sullivan can speak to that. You need to.
Some of the extra parcels, I'm sorry.
Yeah, at least hit the, so we get you on tape.
Brian Sullivan, nice to see you all. Thanks for hearing us tonight. Some of the parcels were abandoned by resolution, but they were never, some of them weren't incorporated into the deed. And so really they weren't owned by anybody. And we went to the Chancery Court and the Chancellor confirmed the chain of title and actually reformed it to be included in the mortgage. So that when we foreclosed on the bankrupt former owner, the additional lands were deemed to be included in the mortgage. And that's how we got title to it.
Okay. I guess it might be helpful if we had a copy, not so much for the board, but just to put in the record, because certainly I think the county's going to need that to do the mapping and so forth.
How about I give you a copy of the Court of Chancery Court order?
That's fine. Okay. Yeah. And I don't need it tonight. If you know, you can give me a copy. Just one's fine.
Just one,
just so
fine.
It's in there. Thank you.
Hey, are there any questions from the members of the board, from Mr. Wyman or anyone?
No, sir.
Hey, Mr. President, Mr. Mills? Okay, hearing no questions. Are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? That's record, there's one. Is there anyone here in opposition to this application?
Mr. Chairman, I have a letter in opposition.
Okay, could you...
VMF Pomeran, and he regrets that he will not be able to attend the hearing, but he will be out of town on the date tending to his mother's affairs. Zoning regulations are made for many good reasons. The variances in question would tend to degrade the neighborhood and contribute to the devaluation of the surrounding properties. It would be unfair for those who have conformed to the existing zoning restrictions to grant an exception at this point in time.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, hearing no other opposition, Chair will entertain a motion. Chairman, before you take a vote, my client asked whether or not I should give an opportunity for the adjacent property owner to speak. You asked if there was anybody in favor, and he raised his hand. I don't know if he wants to speak or not, or I don't know if you wanted to hear from him.
If he wanted, he was more than welcome to. If he'd like to speak, if not,
I don't have another opposition.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to represent on the record that he is the owner of lot four that's adjacent to lot three.
Thank you. Okay. Again, Chair will entertain a motion.
Okay, again, last call.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move that we approve case number 10130. I think it's unique. It's I don't see how it can otherwise be developed. It was created by the applicant, and it certainly won't alter the sense of character of the neighborhood. It will improve it, if anything, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And it's a minimum variance to grant relief.
Okay. Do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
Okay, I have a motion by Mr. McCabe, and second by Mr. Workman, that we approve case number 10,130. All those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. The case is approved.
Thank you, sir. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.